Hello everyone, we're back on air. We're hopefully sorted out our tech problems. So, Lundy, can you reintroduce the guest for this week, please? Thank you.
Sure, I can probably do that. To recap, our guest today is, you all might recognize him from his YouTube channel, Rational Warrior. You all might recognize him from the atheist rap group Grand Unified. Our guest today is Tombstone the Dead Man.
All right, guys, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going great.
It's going great
now that we've got the connection problem settled. Before we cut out the last time, we were talking about the Reason Rally performance, and I was actually just trying to comment that it would actually be really interesting for me to see both you and Graydon do like a song together. Do you guys have any songs that you do together in like performances?
Actually, yeah. He's on my album, as a matter of fact. We have a song called Silence Us. That's actually the song that I wanted us to do up on stage. And I'll also be on his upcoming release. That should be out in a couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks, nice.
Yep.
I'll have to keep my eyes out for that.
Definitely.
Is that going to be free like yours, or are people going to buy it on like iTunes or something? Or
no, they're probably going to buy it on iTunes or Bandcamp. I think he's going to start taking pre-orders for it, actually. And I've heard a lot of it, and I've got to be honest, I think this is his best work.
All right, cool.
Cool. That's a good endorsement.
Yeah, I think it's some of his best work.
All right.
So, in one of your songs, I forget which one exactly it is, you say that you used to buy into the Christian ideas of a devil and hell and all that kind of stuff. When did that end for you? Like, what was the process for you?
That's a good question. Like most Americans, I was born, you know, basically atheist. But it was, when I got a certain age... My parents, you know, they made certain claims, and I didn't have the cognitive ability to challenge those claims at the time. So I started out Pentecostal. That's the church, particular denomination that my family belonged to. And when I got a little older, I would say about 16 or 17, there was so many inconsistencies in the Pentecostal dogma. With the speaking in tongues crap, and I'm sure you can imagine, you know, being a kid sitting in church, watching a woman that weighs probably about 300 pounds, having a fit, throwing herself on the floor, speaking in some unintelligible language, could have some sort of a mental scarring process going on over there. So, like I said, it was just a lot of things about Pentecostal church and the things that was teaching that seemed to be inconsistent, but at that time, I wasn't ready to abandon the idea of a deity at all.
Mm-hmm.
I merely went from there to Islam. Yes, I was a Muslim at one point.
Mm-hmm.
For a great many years, too. I left that for the same reason I wound up leaving all religion. Too many inconsistent claims and things that they can't back up. And the most important thing was the fact that I stopped giving them the benefit of the doubt. But I think that's what a lot of the problem is. People give their clergy the benefit of the doubt. You know, I start asking people to prove it, and when they couldn't, and they kept using a lot of arguments from ignorance. They kept using a lot of special pleading, and it just got to a point where, you know what, you guys don't really know any of this shit, and there's a reason why con artists left too high in religion, because no one asked them to prove anything. So I left it alone probably about, I would say, 10 years ago.
10 years ago? That's pretty good. I think I abandoned it like 4 years ago. So I'm pretty recent
right.
As far as that goes. My favorite song of yours, and this is purely on a philosophical basis, is your song Purpose. I love Purpose. It's a fantastic song for me. What would be your favorite song that you've made so far?
I think my favorite song would probably be on that's going to be on the new upcoming Death Lives album. I did a little video for it, My Stand, because what I've been finding recently is that there are a lot of people out there that aren't true skeptics. You know, they may disbelieve a lot of different things, but not for legitimate reasons. And they're not really open to evidence as much as they say they are. Yes. And they lack critical thinking. They lack it. And I've seen atheists buy into pseudoscience. And I'm dude, come on. Like, the same process you use to eliminate Yahweh from the equation, to eliminate Zeus from the equation, that same process can be used to eliminate those pseudosciences from the equation.
Yeah. I would call it this hyper skepticism. Like, there's a level of skepticism that's reasonable, and then there's hyper skepticism as like rejecting like everything unless it falls into one particular paradigm.
Right.
And the funny thing about hyper skepticism is that it has you buy into things that are patently false, like conspiracy theories. And
No! Don't go there.
That's going to open a can of worms.
Tombstone, there was a question I wanted to ask. It's like relates to it's something Graydon says in one of the songs, like, you know, is this America where being black and atheist is highly unusual? I mean, did you face any kind of aggro from the black community when you became an atheist and outspoken about it?
Dude, you have no idea. I was kind of used to being kind of shunned by my family from when I converted to Islam. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, that was a huge deal. So I was used to kind of being the black sheep, the odd duck. But once I realized I didn't believe any of that crap anymore and made that known, let's just say, I'll give you a classic example. When I first got a Facebook page, all of my family was in a mad dash to friend me, and we constantly chatted back and forth, even the ones that I hadn't seen for a while. Once I made it publicly known that I was an atheist, there is no conversation between me and my family at all.
Yeah.
See, it's on a different level for, I think, pretty much every family, because with my family, they all believe in God. I'm the only atheist in my family. But they're okay with talking to me about everything except religion, which to me is kind of weird. Because, you know, if you have God on your side, if you believe you have God on your side and your belief is the right one, why wouldn't you be open to discussing that with anybody?
Yeah. No question. And I think that really is the other point about that leads me to just not trust anything they say, because if you can't defend it with reason, if you can't defend it with evidence, it's just dogma. It's just you're choosing to believe that because it makes you feel good. You have an emotional attachment to some shit you can't prove.
Hmm.
And I think that's got a lot to do with it.
It's the whole idea. What really confounds me is that people can believe in something that they can't explain.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what do you mean when you say you believe in God? Well, you know, I can't really explain it to you. Well, then how do you know how do you know what it is that you're believing in? I don't understand.
Right. It's just, I don't know, man. If there's a cognitive dissonance, because they don't, some of the thought process that goes into how they keep these beliefs and reaffirm these beliefs and stuff, they don't use that with any other thing in their life. Nothing. They're pretty much rational about a lot of things in their life. They need evidence for certain things. Like, if I was to say to them, oh, it's raining elephants where I live at, and they wouldn't take that on faith. They wouldn't just accept what I just said. They would start looking for some way. Wait a minute, that's impossible, because you wouldn't still have a house. Like, they would destroy your roof. You know, but when it comes to things like deities and stuff, which, to be quite honest with you, it's the exact same as fairies, trolls, leprechauns, smurfs. It's the exact same shit. They have the exact same evidence for the existence of these things. Yet they won't apply that same thought process to God.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love for fairies and trolls and leprechauns to exist, because I think that would make a really interesting reality for me.
Yeah.
But just because it would be interesting if they did exist doesn't mean that you just believe them. I mean, that's what fiction books are for, you know.
Right.
Like,
you know,
I enjoy fictional stories, but I don't believe them, that they're true.
Dude, I would love to live in the Marvel Universe. I would dude, it'd be great. But here's the reality. The Marvel Universe doesn't exist, right? So
yeah, exactly.
This whole accepting something as a fact, simply based off the fact that you like the idea of it, is flawed.
Yeah, sure.
I mentioned before that I'm on your Facebook page, and you do a lot of, and this kind of deviates away from the whole atheism thing, but mm-hmm. you do a lot of postings on like video games that you like and all that kind of stuff. I forget. Do you work at a video game place or?
Yeah, I work at the GameStop. And now, mind you, I'm only there to get my discounts. You know, like they schedule me maybe one day every 2 weeks or something. As long as I stay on the schedule.
Just get a discount, that's fine.
Yeah.
Let's see. Are there any other questions? People in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to ask them in the chat log. We're all looking at the chat log. We'll go ahead and look at them for you.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to call in, just...
Another question that was posed earlier was, how long have you been making music?
Oh, I've been like, rhyming and doing songs and stuff since I was, like, 13. Most people hearing me, they hear me because of, you know, my views on atheism that I express in the music. But it's not so much that I'm an atheist rapper. I'm a rapper that's an atheist. And if you understand the distinction, I've been rapping for longer than I've been an atheist. It's just that I felt as though at some point, like, this topic needed to be covered. It needed to be, I didn't feel like it was enough people in the hip-hop genre doing songs about it. You know, it needed to be said, from my particular perspective. That's why I started rhyming about that stuff. And the funny thing about it is, the moment I did that, that's when I started getting some popularity.
See, a lot of your fans of your music, they're fans of other genres, and they're not usually mm-hmm. fans of hip hop, but then they listen to your music and they go, okay, I can listen to that. Would you consider doing any sort of like a rap metal crossover or something like that?
It depends on the track. If I hear a track that I think that my voice would sound good over and I'm really feeling it, then yeah. I mean, I'm actually proud of the fact that a lot of the people that listen to my stuff before then didn't really listen to hip hop. And you know, to be quite honest, I don't blame them, because if your only exposure to it is the crap they play on mainstream with the nonsensical, repetitive lyrics, I wouldn't like it either. And as a matter of fact, I don't like it. I don't even listen to the radio anymore, specifically because of that. I can't hear that stuff, you know. And it's like, if I was them and that's all I was exposed to, then yeah, you know, I wouldn't like it either. So the fact that I'm doing what I'm doing and it's reaching people that ordinarily wouldn't listen to hip hop, that's good for hip hop too. Because showing them that music is a tool like anything else. It depends on the person that uses it.
Okay, I'm seeing Womble is typing something in the chat now, and I have the same sort of question. Rap and hip hop. I apologize for being so incredibly white, but what is the difference? What is the difference?
Hip-hop is like the culture, and it includes more than just the music aspect. Hip-hop includes the breakdancing, graffiti art, DJing, the slang, and all that. Rap is just the music part of it, and a lot of people, they confuse the music with being the entire thing in hip-hop culture. But when I started doing rap, it was because I wanted to be a part of the hip-hop culture, but I couldn't dance, so that was out. Wasn't good at being a DJ. I was destroying all the records I would touch. So I started rapping because I wanted to be a part of that overall culture. And I think that's the people, they kind of missed the distinction on that. Right, Lundy. Rap is a subset of hip hop, exactly.
Yeah, I'm fairly white myself, but I'm actually kind of a fan
fairly
of some
white.
Some levels of rap. I'm fairly white. As far as my skin tone goes, I'm probably just as white as Marty, but...
Lundy is white. I am Swedish.
Okay. I'm American white, so I have some sort of knowledge on this kind of stuff. Not near on the level of some other people, but yeah. There are some other...
Womble just won. She admits to having a Vanilla Ice CD. I am not the whitest person here.
Oh, Womble's trolling you now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we do have a caller. I'm going to try and bring them in. It's Jay in Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
I think this is one of the ones that calls into Arab Atheist.
Yeah, she's a regular caller there. Hello, Jay.
I don't see her on. You added her into the call, but she didn't pick up.
Oh, I think it's because I'm hosting the call.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
No, here she is. Jay, can you hear us?
Hello?
We can
hear
you. So,
hello.
Yeah, what's your question?
My question to him, really, with all your mind, go to Islam. You know what the real Islam to go to Islam before? I'm really shocked. You are living Christian to go to Islam. Even you know what the
Sorry, can you repeat that? We kind of lost a little bit of it.
What she's saying is she's shocked that you can go from Christianity to Islam, and she's wondering.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that the version of Islam that I went to was very stylized. I don't believe that for one second it was, because there's a lot of different sets of Islam. That's why I don't understand what, like, real Islam. There's a lot of different sets of people that believe in different hadiths, you know. So, I mean, certain traditional things about it, about the Sunnah, they still, you know, have the same thing, but there are differences between the sets.
But the Holy Quran, what's called Holy Quran, it is the source of everything in Islam, and that involves a lot of violence and discrimination against women and against even child and against different. How you can your mind accepted that in that time? I mean,
well, you need the other thing that I think needs to be said about that is that the Bible has every bit as much violence, sexism against women, and everything else that the Quran has every bit the same amount. So when my mindset back then, you know, I was caught up into the indoctrination. I didn't see it for what it was back then. The same way originally I didn't see it for what it was in Christianity.
Yeah, I can't see that. By the way, I love my own purpose. Mm-hmm. Even I am not rap girl. I love jazz, but your songs exceptional. I love it so much.
Thank you.
I love it. You are welcome. Thank you, guys.
No problem at all. Great to have you on.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you for your call. One of the questions that was asked of me from Belzer, actually, he was wondering, what is your opinion on the Black Atheists of Atlanta? If you know who they are.
I vaguely know who they are.
The anti-homosexual group down there
I gotta be honest, some of that stuff really confuses me. How could you be anti-homosexual? Like, to me, people that are anti-homosexual, you still have some of the trappings of religion on you. You still have some religious flashback on you or something. Because I just don't see a reason for it.
There doesn't really have to be a reason. I mean, you said before that there are atheists that say that believe
that's
really
true.
Stupid stuff, and
that's very true.
Yeah, so it's to me if they're going to say they're anti-homosexual, and they tend to use those studies that are usually purported by what's that Christian group that's trying to get rid of homosexual marriage and stuff? Focus on the family.
Many
I think.
Of those in Lundy.
But yeah, there like, are. Man. But they tend to use the same studies used by Focus on the Family, and they make the same errors where they like disregard a lot of what the studies actually say. Where some like there was a study that was done. Apparently, it's possible for a homosexual person to be re-educated, so to speak, into wanting to have sex with the opposite sex, and a lot of the Focus on Family, Black Atheists of Atlanta, they were like, see, look, it is a choice and you can change that stuff and it's all that kind of stuff. But the thing about the study is that the guy in the study, in the discussion area, actually said it was extremely difficult to find any volunteers for this study. So while it can happen, I perceive it to be extremely rare. So I'll tend to just kind of ignore that when they're trying to use the study in their favor.
Well, they do that with all kinds of studies. If you notice, when they speak about their dislike for evolution, they'll find some fringe scientists somewhere on the edge, and they'll hold his study up, and they'll talk about the things he said in his study or whatever, but will completely neglect the vast majority of other biologists out there who have looked at the exact same data he has. They're doing this exact same thing, and I gotta be honest with you, I find it kind of it's very distasteful to me that whole idea that you could just go in because what they're saying re-education, oh, that's another word to me for brainwashing, indoctrination. You know, I don't think that's something they should be touting as a great thing. I just don't.
In a sense, for this particular study, I believe. Volunteers who wanted to change their sexual orientation, and I think that probably did a whole lot towards the success of that. But so, as far as brainwashing goes, I have sort of a stigma with this word because people tend to throw it around in a way that I'm not totally comfortable with because sometimes people use the word brainwashing to just mean bringing up somebody to believe something. I don't necessarily think that can be blanket statement be called brainwashing because you can bring someone up to believe in the validity of critical thinking. Would true. That be brainwashing?
That's true. That's a good point.
I think basically brainwashing would have to do with breaking someone down and then
So if you're an
building
adult
up
already.
Something else and stuff.
I don't know. That's a good question though.
I just think the word brainwashing needs to be defined in a more specific way. Because there are levels of education to kids that we can give them that some people would call brainwashing that I wouldn't call brainwashing. So,
I don't understand. Like it's like you said earlier, they wanted to change their sexual orientation. How does that not skew the result? Seriously.
Obviously it would because I don't know how do you measure the end result. All you can do is ask them.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if they want to change, they may actually believe that they have changed. There's a placebo effect sort of thing.
Yeah.
We have a question from Dead Ice Tombstone. What's the new album going to look like? How many tracks are on there? And are there different styles?
The new album, I actually have the artwork already. It was done by a GU member named Kai. And she's really, really good artist. Basically, the artwork on the cover, GU is attempting to come up with a comic book. We're in the works of doing it now. The cover art is a sort of an homage to the comic book. It will be different styles on there. I'll be talking about atheism, but also it's a couple other topics that I wanted to talk about on there and just overall the state of hip hop as I see it now and as the way I would like it to be. Basically, what was the other question? Let's see, how many tracks? Now that's the other thing. I'm not certain yet because every time I say, okay, this is the album, I get another idea for a song. So, we will just
at some point, you're gonna need to be like, all right, this is the album. I have another idea, but that can be on the next one.
Yeah, you know, and trust me, I'm seeking help for this. But, I mean, that's just how my creative process is. But I'm actually in that mode, you know. I'm in that frame of mind. I create. So I'm going to go through the songs that I have done. I'm trying to stick to at least 11 songs. At least 11.
Yeah. 11 will do.
Yeah.
Usually, from what I see, an album tends to consist of anywhere between 10 to 18 songs. So.
Yeah, I refuse to do an 18-song album. I refuse. I refuse because I like people to beg me for more, not beg me to stop. Sometimes it's just too much. It's just too much material.
That's probably a good idea.
So, no, there was a question you said about like getting ideas for songs. Like, see, Sound Like Poison. Did you hear that, you know, clip from The Atheist Experience first, and the song came from it, or did you have the song first and you just heard that clip and it just went
oh,
with
no,
it?
Sir, I watched the show.
All right.
That exchange that Matt had with that call in that church. I mean, it was riveting. And the diatribe he went on to afterwards.
Yeah.
Was riveting. That gave me the idea for the song.
All right. And is that like kind of
which clip are we talking about?
The one with I think it was one of the first ones with Mark, who called in and was asking
Austin Stone.
Yeah, the Austin Stone Church, and Matt went on afterwards to say, I don't know how we can live in a world where people think that religion is such a great thing when it's absolute poison.
Oh, that clip. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
So, how did you feel when actually a little bit later they used your song Poison to introduce the show?
Dude, I was so pumped because I just want to take this moment out to thank my supporters and fans because that's how that happened. Somebody shared the song with them and they liked it and they put it up there. A lot of the opportunities that I've had, I would say over the past couple of years has been through the fans of sharing the music and talking about it and exposing people to it. So when somebody actually gave me the link and said, you know, they used your song on, I said, you're shitting me. Like, no, seriously. And I watched it and I was just pumped. That's like one of my favorite shows for real.
That's every Sunday we get together and watch that stuff. Trolling with Logic Crew and the Skeptic TV crew, we just get together and watch that together. So this is a topic that's been permeating the community, so to speak, for a while. Is Atheism Plus? Are you up to date on that?
I have the vaguest notion of it. I would like to ask a couple of questions about it, though. What is
Certainly.
The plus for? Is it? Are they saying that not only are we atheists, but we're also against being anti-woman, anti-gay, blah, blah, blah. Because guess what? I'm all of that without being atheist plus. So, I mean, what are they saying? What does it mean?
Pretty much exactly my point. Like, if you went up to a random person and you said, do you know what this Atheism Plus thing is? And they don't keep up to date with the blogs and all that kind of stuff, then they would have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. You could ask 100 people and get 100 different answers as to what it could possibly be. And I think a lot of people would probably go along the lines of Atheism Plus. Is that like that militant atheism, like strong atheism and stuff? That's probably what a lot of people would look at Atheism Plus as intuitively. So it's just a bad name, firstly. And I think for me, one of the big problems that I have with it is trying to use atheism as a political platform because it's not.
Right.
Like that's the big problem that I have with it.
Yeah, right. My problem with that it's fighting social issues, but at the same time it's kind of excluding potential allies because it's, you know, excluding theists and, you know, people who aren't atheists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's also dividing atheists. Atheists have at least one thing in common, and, you know, and we don't believe in God, and that means we will cooperate against certain things.
Right.
But it's kind of hard to cooperate when we're pissed at each other about who gets to be part of some elite club.
Yeah, very true.
So it's like I mean, I don't think they had any such motives behind this thing. I like the idea.
The way they've gone about it, everything that they've done so far to promote this has been absolutely divisive in every way. I mean,
are they saying you're either with us or against us, Ed? Is that actually what this
is? You can go ahead and look at Richard Carrier's blog. He's a fine example of this. Even atheists...
Said something similar. You're either atheist plus or you're an asshole atheist.
Are you kidding me?
He said,
He
said, if you're against atheism plus, why don't you just call your group the asshole atheists so we know who you are?
Wow.
That's what PZ said. And Richard Carrier, I mean, this was early on in the whole thing, and Marty was actually the one to point this out to me and to other people. Richard Carrier made a blog where he was espousing atheism plus and why it's a good thing. And there was a commenter on his blog that said, you know, I'm just going to go with atheism, regular atheism. And Richard Carrier's response to him was, okay, so that's one vote for douchery.
What?
Yes. I mean... That's not how you get a movement started, for one thing. For another thing, they're totally not self-critical. I mean, if anybody joins their forums and has some sort of dissenting opinion, they're just told that they need to get educated. Yeah. That's the whole thing. Wow. No dissenting opinion is going to be accepted in Atheism Plus.
So how is that not a religion?
I don't know. Like, to me,
it's a religion without a god.
It is fairly much like a religion. It's like saying it is a cult of atheism, is what it is. And it's pissing me off because other theists are like, ha ha ha, we got you. We found a group of you that are religious.
Yeah, gee, thanks. Thanks, guys. We needed that conversation. We needed that added on to the other bullshit. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Along with all the other misconceptions people have about atheists.
Thanks.
Yeah. I just love the way they treat dissenting opinion, because, you know, that's going to be some... That's how you get a movement started. That's the great benchmark of a successful movement. Maybe a movement, but, you know, movement nonetheless.
Yeah. I'm really shocked about that. Like, but then, too, I guess I shouldn't be. Because I've seen some things in the last few months from people that label themselves as atheists that I feel like I shouldn't be saying. But what it reminds me of is that the one thing that we have in common is that we don't believe in any deities. How we got to that disbelief can be in various different ways.
Yeah,
and what
definitely.
We, you know, like, atheism plus, dude, that whole thing just sounds kind of suspect to me. Sounds suspect.
Yeah, and what really bothers me with it is how many big names are part of the movement. And some of those people are people that I think should be above that sort of thing. I mean, like Matt Dillahunty, for example. I mean,
he's part of that?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, here's the thing. To be fair, when Matt says he's pro-atheism plus, he... does not at all seem to support any of the methods that are being used with all the other Atheist Plus members.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Sorry.
What I wanted to get to is that the criticism that people have of Atheism Plus, those people, Matt Dillahunty, Martin Wagner, I brought this up with him on Facebook, actually, it's like they're completely blind to it.
Wow.
Oh, you're just overreacting, basically.
Well, I mean, you can only react to something that stimulates that reaction. I mean, if you're saying, if you're outright saying either you're this or you're a douchebag, either you're this or you're an asshole, I mean, how else am I supposed to take that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Exactly. And they're just going, well, either, oh, you're taking it out of context. Mm-hmm. Gee, sounds familiar, doesn't it? or you're misinterpreting it, or it's something he's not really Atheism Plus. He doesn't speak for the movement. Also sounds familiar, huh?
What I remember Matt going over was it pretty. You know how when we first brought it up to you, Tombstone, you said something along the lines of, I already believed in all that stuff before Atheism Plus, so why do I need to ascribe this label? Matt pretty much said the same thing and said I was Atheism Plus before Atheism Plus existed. So what Matt's doing is he's saying, look, Atheism Plus believes in these things, I believe in these things, so technically I'm Atheism Plus, and I'm okay with that. That's Matt's position.
Okay. All right. That's a good clarification, because, I mean, just the idea. I mean, I'll be honest with you. When people say certain things and they speak as a representative of a movement or something, I mean, it colors the movement a certain way, especially if other people in the movement don't go about trying to clarify or say anything to dispute that. And the whole idea, either you're with us or against us, I reject that notion completely.
Yeah, like, that's the reason I'm against it. Mainly, I mean, I was with them until they said that you're with us or against us.
Yeah, dude, I don't know, man.
Well, once it became that divisive, yeah. Psycho Lord made a comment that I thought was kind of funny. Doesn't this kind of make us atheism hipsters?
Ha! No, never.
We like never. Atheism before it was Atheism Plus.
Never. Never.
Oh, well, we have a question from Wombo. It said, Tombstone, if you were ever to study a science, which science would you study?
Astrophysics.
Cool.
I think that's a decent answer for Wombo, because if you say biology, she's going to know. You know what she's going to do.
To be fair, anything outside of geology, she'd probably be dissatisfied with. So.
Yep, she is.
Yeah, there you go. She's raging now. You've lost a fan there.
So I got another question from Belzer. Tombstone, in your interactions with the atheist community, have you ever felt like you've been discriminated against in any way because you're a black atheist, or has that ever happened to you?
Not specifically. Like, in other words, it depends on the type of prejudice you're talking about. Prejudice of certain assumptions about me, you know, that are made sometimes by people, but more so the type of test that I've experienced has more to do with the fact of my music. The vast majority that I've come in contact with atheists do not listen to hip hop. So they have these assumptions about it. And the moment he raps, so I must be talking about bitches, money, being in the club, making it rain. I must be talking about that type of stuff. So, yeah, from that perspective, I've seen some, people making these assumptions until they actually hear what I'm talking about. But other than that, I haven't experienced out and out racism as far as someone coming to me, calling me out of my name or, you know, something like that. I haven't experienced that personally yet, but I have experienced people making assumptions about me, because what I look like.
So they discriminate against your style. They don't discriminate against how you look.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool. I think I have another question here. Seems like hating white people. That's just more commenting on the black atheists of Atlanta. They're such a strange group. Like when I really, because I've watched a few of their videos and. If you really watch them, it is really weird because they don't really talk about atheism that much. They're the black atheists of Atlanta, but they don't talk about atheism that much. They talk about how much they hate white people, and they talk about how much they hate homosexuals. That's pretty much the majority of their show. And then people call in saying, why do you hate homosexuals? And then they'll say stupid stuff like, well, homosexuality, that's stupid, and if you're a homosexual, then fuck you. Like, that's
great
pretty
argument.
Much...
Great yes. argument.
That's pretty much all they do.
Great argument. Like, really? That's where we're at?
That's at least where they're at. it's such a weird thing. Like, you're an avid watcher of the Atheist Experience, so you probably heard Check 'em Charlie call into them as evolved atheists and stuff.
It's very interesting that you bring that up, because I didn't really even know who he was. And it was originally. And it wasn't until a little while later I was introduced to some of his music. I was like, oh, this guy's got, it's like a parody, right? It's not, this can't be real. He's like, no, he's dead ass serious. I went, wow.
Yes. At one time, I'm pretty sure he compared himself to you and said, oh, I'm just an atheist rapper just like him. People are discriminating against me. No, we don't like you because you're an anti-homosexual and your rap sucks.
Wow. The only comparisons that anybody could even have with me would probably be another GU member. It definitely wouldn't be Charlie Checker, because I'm lyrically better than him, not to toot my own horn. And I don't...
To be honest, I think, like, a child is lyrically better than him.
Hey, nah, man. Charlie Checker, like I said, from what I've heard, he was doing this before I was. So, at least he was known for, being an atheist rapper before I was.
It's a good thing that you and the other GU members are out there.
I'm starting to see that now.
Because if Charlie was our rap representation, that would be really bad.
Yeah, I'm starting to see that now. Hey, speaking of that, I got looks like in a chat room, I got another GU member, Ogma. He's going to be on my next coming album, too. What's up, Ogma? But, yeah, dude.
There's a kind of flood of questions came in there. Someone was we got a whole load of chat room questions just come in there. Someone was asking, how should we deal with religious extremism? Should we be proactive at the risk of safety to others?
Now, what I'm getting from that question, it seems like it's like kind of a reference to...
Yeah.
It sounds to me to be a reference to what happened over in Libya.
Yeah.
See, I'm torn on this. I gotta be honest with you. I'm not the show answer man. I don't have all the answers, but I'm kind of torn. Because on one note, at least if I got the facts of what happened right, if you're in this building and you're being surrounded by people over some stupid film or whatever that you haven't even seen, and you're just trying to make the people in that room walk out of this alive, I can't tell these people what to do to survive. As for me, I always go hard with religious extremism. I always go hard. I don't like it, and I'm going to fight against it every time. That's just me.
That's me too. It's an understandable position to be against religious extremism. It's just for a lot of people, the line needs to be drawn and pointed to say, look, these are the religious extremists. These are the people we're against. We're not against. The way that we're against the moderates is in a far different way.
We're
against. Because the moderates, we're just against them on a philosophical level.
Right.
We're cool with them on like every other way.
Exactly.
But the extremists, they'll kill people. That's what we're against.
Yeah, and more to the point, when somebody gets to the point where they're ready to actually resort to violence, that shows me, A, their position is weak. They can't argue it from an intellectual standpoint. And to be quite honest, they're cowards. They're a coward.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're willing to resort to violence, that means you don't have any arguments left. And
you
it's
don't
just
have
like
any
you'll
arguments
well,
left.
It's like just fuck you, I'm going to kill you. Like really?
Right.
That's the best you've got?
Right. And like you said, it's a different. Like when I go up against moderates, we're talking about strictly from the standpoint of I disagree with your thought process on this. I disagree with the stuff that you're walking around presenting as a truth. I disagree with your truth claims, okay? But an extremist, not only do I disagree with your truth claims, I disagree with how you try to spread that and what you would do. Like, think about it. how bad of a thinker must you be that if somebody draws a picture of Muhammad in a way that you consider unflattering, now I've got to shoot everybody. The mindset that would think of that needs to be eradicated. I'm sorry, like, dude, I don't know that they can be educated. There's something else that's wrong with them.
There's Frau Frau in the chat room here said the moderates are a power base for extremists. I don't like that argument. It's sort of similar to the idea that moderate Christians tacitly support the fundamentalist Christians because they like pay tithe and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't accept that argument in the same way that I wouldn't accept that I support the Iraq war because I pay taxes. Yeah. So no, I'm sorry, but that doesn't work for me. Especially since you can do a Google search really easily and find whole groups of moderates who are going, yeah, these extremists, they don't represent us. We're sorry for them. They suck. We understand that.
Especially fine, even in Libya.
Even in Libya.
Pretty much as soon as it happened, you had like people with signs just parading, going, "This, they don't represent us. We're sorry that this happened. We condemn their actions." You see that stuff happening all the time. So that's, I don't consider them to be a huge problem as far as fundamentalists go. I think the fundamentalists are their own problem. We can't blame the moderates for them.
And in Iran as well.
If you're talking about, I don't believe the moderate. I think the only thing the moderates lend cover for is the philosophy, because if you accept that book is divinely whatever, and it was given by some divine source, and you get to interpret it any way you want, how then do you intellectually come up to a conclusion that they can't interpret it the way they want? Because you're interpreting it the way you want too. But other than that, you can't blame the average Libyan who's just going about his business for what these fucks did, especially considering the fact that how many people were actually out there protesting versus how many people that are in Libya. I don't think we should paint them all with the same brush.
I mean, as myself being a humanist, and I'm fairly certain that's not a very controversial position, I'm of the position that people should be judged on their own individual merits and demerits. There's no use in categorizing a whole group of people as this one thing, because everyone is in some way different from each other in what they believe and what they do. So when you create a categorization, you're almost necessarily going to make a blanket statement that's unjustified, at least in some
terms. Right, that's true.
Any other questions, chat room, that we can continue on?
I think we have a caller.
Do we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we do. Zeus in USA. As soon as we can get him on the phone.
Yes. Yeah, here he is. Hello,
there
Zeus.
There we go.
Hey, we have a troll in the chat room, too. Cool. Now he's gone.
See, as Bear is quick on the band finger.
Yeah.
What's going on, Zeus?
Obviously, it's no good.
Yeah.
What's going on? I didn't call, but it's all good.
Hey, wait a minute. That's Ogma.
Yep. What's going on?
What's up, man?
I'm lost. Just chilling out. Just getting my stuff together. Listening to your discussion here.
Right.
So, you have your verse ready for the song and album?
Yes, I do. Definitely. As soon as you're ready to hear it. Definitely ready to spit it.
Thank you, sir.
I would ask for a preview, but it would probably sound weird a cappella. Most things.
Just wait till you hear the whole song together.
Yeah.
That would probably be, yeah. Do you have any, like, particular questions or things that you were curious about or anything like that, Zeus? Or Ogma, whatever you want to be called. I don't care.
Just the way that the country handled, to me, like, the whole situation, where it was like they were like putting the blame on Americans, where it's like, oh, like they basically worded the official, like from the embassy and everything else. It's like, well, we did instigate the attack, but it's still unacceptable. You know what I mean? Which is just absolute bullshit. Like, they were already planning an attack to begin with, and they used, like, the publicity that we gave that video by apologizing for it to, like, rally a bunch of people to make it, you know, a lot more.
Now, see, that I don't think is true. I mean, a lot of GOP members have been saying that kind of stuff, but from what I recall of reading the statements from the embassy, from the president, from Clinton, from pretty much everybody involved, what they said was, we support religious freedom, as that is what this country was based on. We do not support hate speech against any one particular group, and we do not support extremist attacks for any one reason, all of which is unacceptable behavior.
I mean, I saw a statement from Hillary Clinton the day after calling the video, and I saw the video. She was like, oh, the video is absolutely reprehensible. And, you know, they were like, well, we completely disagree with any kind of denigration of anybody's religious beliefs whatsoever. Like, so people aren't supposed to criticize Scientology, or else, you know, like, there's going to be repercussions from Scientologists with fair game. We should all be worried about Lord Xenu and shit. It's ridiculous.
From what I recall on Hillary Clinton's on Hillary Clinton's behalf, from what I recall on her statement during the bringing of the dead people home, she said that it's perfectly okay to have open discussion on these things. It is morally reprehensible, not illegal in any way. And this is a very important point to point out. They never said it's illegal or that they want to ban it. They simply said they don't approve of attacking another religion the way in which that particular movie did.
Which they said before they even called the attacks reprehensible to begin with, which I just didn't get. I didn't get how, like, we didn't just take that as, like, this is completely unacceptable in any kind of capacity. You know what I mean? Like, you should, it's the United States, it's freedom of speech, period. The film was made in the United States, and it made its way over to that country. It's not like the filmmaker went, like, dropped a bunch of discs off in that region, you know?
I'm pretty sure, like, they were against the attacks pretty much as soon as the attacks happened, and they were saying as much in the statements, at least from what I remember reading.
My understanding of the timeline was that when they first released the statements, that was 6 hours. I was before the attack.
Yeah. When they first released the statements apologizing for the video.
Yeah, that was like 6 hours or so before the attack.
Yeah. They never apologized for the attack.
Right, right.
They never did that. They never said this attack is justified in any way.
I know that.
I know Hillary herself said that an attack on anybody because of any sort of criticism is absolutely abhorrible and is completely unacceptable. So I know that much.
And haven't they sent warships out to Libya or a certain amount of them?
I heard about that.
I didn't hear about the warships. I do know that they are conducting investigations, and they presume that the Libyan government will help them, which is likely because the Libyan government is a result of people not being okay with a dictatorship theocracy in the first place. So they will probably most likely help in the investigation. And they were very – not only that, but one of the people who died was an extreme avid Libya supporter in the entire context of helping the Libyan uprising. So I'm pretty sure they'll be very amicable towards helping the investigation on that sense. So I'm not too worried. To me, this shows – I didn't see any statements that were released either by the embassy or any officials that I disagreed with. And what I did disagree with, and this is getting heavily in politics, is how the GOP spun this shit. You have Mitt Romney coming forth in a freaking press conference and saying that the government is okay with these attacks, and they want to ban religious criticism, but they're not okay with banning criticism of Christianity. In fact, I just saw a video video yesterday of some guy saying, see, they're not okay with religious criticism. They want to have an investigation on this stuff. I don't see them investigating South Park. Did they say they wanted to ban it? No. Like, he literally said that. He's like, South Park has said all this stuff about Christianity, but they don't support that. And this is this whole GOP rhetoric that it's okay to criticize Christianity but not Islam. And that's pisses me off every time.
That's just a failure reading the news. He wasn't arrested for the film. He was arrested for tax evasion or something like that.
Yeah. But I think the whole language in this discussion needs to be changed. To me, an attack on a religion is me blowing up your synagogue or me blowing up your church.
Yeah.
Me criticizing it or saying some funny shit about it or even drawing a funny picture, how's it attacking? I think the language is very strong. And they're trying to lump everything into an attack. But everything is not the same type of attack.
I absolutely agree.
In their doctrine.
Go ahead.
I'm saying in their doctrine, you know, it says exactly that. And if the more seriously you take religious doctrine, like the Bible and especially the Quran, then the more, like, violent, outrageously ridiculous middle age acts that you'll be taking part in. You know what I mean?
I think we personally would be sufficiently pissed off if somebody like released a video saying that atheism is about eating children or something like that. Like something absolutely monstrous and just mischaracterizing atheism on a massive level and then releasing a video and going, blah, look at these guys. They're all devil worshippers and all that kind of stuff. We would be sufficiently pissed off about that.
I wouldn't.
Every day.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we pretty much get insulted all the time. Like, I mean,
well, yeah, I understand, but we do get pissed off whenever that happens. I mean, whenever the GOP comes forward and says that Obama's trying to make a secular government, secularism leads to communism, and communism is bad because it kills people and all that kind of stuff. That pisses us off. That makes us want to say something back. And I would consider that sufficiently. I would think that would sufficiently count as an attack on atheism when they say that kind of stuff. Because we're under attack all the time.
I don't know, man. Because then you're going down a slippery slope. Like, I don't think that should be considered an attack on atheism because religions consider attacks on their doctrine like an attack on their specific systems of belief. And atheism.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, there are many people that would say my album is an attack. You know? Yeah. They would say that my whole album is an attack on religion. I mean, at what point do we separate the actual physical violence from people just saying stuff? Like, we can, and to your point, Lundy, we can get mad when they say that type of stuff because it's a lie. But we'll respond to it in a certain type of way. We won't strap bombs to ourselves and walk into your local Southern Baptist church and blow them up behind it. I think, unless of course
the atheist involved is absolutely mentally fucking deficient and has no idea, because that can happen. That's not like out of the realm of possibility.
Quick question though, what would that atheist shout beforehand?
Say again.
I have no clue.
What would that atheist shout beforehand? Before the explosion.
Oh man! You'd be like, "In the name of science!" And
then just... Right. I don't know, dude.
In the name of Star Wars, Akbar.
I just think we should be careful feeding into the outrage machine, the machine that conflates any criticism as something that everybody should be so pissed off and so outrageous. Because at a certain point, when everything becomes an outrage, nothing is an outrage.
I think I can distinguish between criticism, insult, and attack.
Yeah.
The reason I would agree on that point is because when the right media criticize Sam Harris, Dawkins, Hitchens as being attackers on religion. And I think somebody said the time for polite debate is over during that time. What were they doing? They were debating. That's what they were doing. It was polite debate. That's what it was. It wasn't sort of the time for polite debate is over. They're making books and debating us. What?
They're responding.
And that's what it is. It's a response. So it's like, my thing is, it's just a sense of entitlement that a lot of religious people have And I don't think we should feed into it. The sense of entitlement that they're allowed to frame the narrative any way they want. And if you say anything that's contrary to that narrative, then all of a sudden, you're being a big meanie. How dare you be mean to me and not agree with that? How dare you're being mean because you actually speaking out about something you disagree with? I don't know.
I think a classic example of that was Ken Ham's response to Bill Nye the Science Guy video on Big Think.
Oh yeah,
I'm still pissed off about that. I think Bill Nye the Science Guy should be renamed Bill Nye the Humanist Guy because he got that award as Humanist of the Year. And humanism is a really bad thing, and he's trying to make sure that nobody believes in God. And he's not even a scientist. He doesn't even understand science. Really? Really, Ken? Really?
Yeah.
You're going to say that Bill Nye, the science guy...
he doesn't understand...
No, you see, he doesn't understand science because he doesn't wear his biblical glasses.
I think at one point he went Big Bang Theory and just said he's an engineer. He's the creationist version of Sheldon.
You guys see that picture where Bill Nye's sitting next to Neil deGrasse Tyson, and Bill Nye's just, what the fuck? What the fuck? Neil deGrasse Tyson's like, relax, you're the children, remember? The children are watching you. Can't be cursed.
Think of the children, Bill.
Think of the children.
I mean, Bill Nye is recognized nationally as being a fine educator in science on television, and Ken Ham comes forward and just denounces him because he's against creationism. In a way, I can see that this is pretty much the only recourse that Ken has to denounce that he has any idea what he's talking about science, because if he doesn't, then people think that Bill has some credence in saying that creationism is inappropriate to teach the children. So he had no choice, as far as I'm concerned, if he wanted to keep dishonestly defending his worldview as it is, to denounce Bill Nye the way he did. That doesn't stop the fact, of course. But, Ken Ham, and he wasn't the only one, by the way. I'm pretty sure he got a bunch of his, like, quote-unquote scientist friends to comment on it, too. And they're like, well, I have a PhD in this particular in physics or something, and I disagree with Bill Nye completely, and that creation ministry.
Love appeal to authority.
Yeah. They're like, at Creation Ministries, we do scientific research to confirm creationism, and we scrutinize creationism as well as evolution.
Yeah, because we have all kinds of experimental evidence.
Bullshit!
Creationism is real. Dude, the one thing that really kills me, I'm telling you, it really, really irks me, what grinds my gears, is when people who have never looked under a microscope in their life comment on and seek to try to delegitimize scientists who spend their entire life looking and studying and actually doing the work. They're doing the work, and you aren't doing shit but standing there on the outside of the lab throwing stones at the window.
Yeah. I react in a similar way when people start talking about the Big Bang Theory all the time. I mean, I don't come at this from the point of view of biology. I mean, that's what most people are talking about when they're debunking creationists, but I have a background in physics, and something that really gets me going is when they all start misrepresenting the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just, I've started looking at the math behind that. And it's so, I mean, the complexity of that math is just, those people talking about it, they don't know shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I can't even relate to just, I mean, how little they know. I mean,
I mean, it is just a theory, though. Nah, I'm just kidding.
Good one. Now, well, you know, the other tactic they do, they attempt to try to discredit peer review.
Oh.
And you know,
Yeah,
it seems to me that anybody that's afraid to put their shit up, if you're telling me that you've done some study, and you have some research, you have some, anybody that's afraid to put their shit up for peer review should not be trusted. Period.
Exactly. As I said before, peer review isn't perfect, though. However, it's the best thing we have. If you think you have something better, please do share.
Right, right.
I don't see any other way right now.
I just want to have
another method. They do have another method.
This was pointed out to me by somebody who's viewing the chat logs. I don't know who said it, but even if you say it in joke, asking the question how much we should figure out how much C4 it would take to blow up Mecca, not a very good idea. That's not very appropriate. So cool. Don't say that. So even if you mean it as a joke, not cool.
Yeah, that's...
Though I have to say, chat rooms are pretty much the same wherever you go. I mean, you go to the Atheist Experience chat room. I mean, go to the Atheist Experience chat room during a show and watch what happens when a theist calls up. It's insane.
Go to any news thread on Yahoo or whatever, and you'll see some wild shit.
Oh, they
say some wild shit.
Internet.
I'm just surprised everyone showed restraint into not making that joke as soon as Lundy says, don't do it.
I can only not laugh for so long with that.
Wow.
See, because the person who pointed this out to me, he's a friend of mine, and he's a deist of sorts, and he's very sympathetic to religious people, and I'm also fairly sympathetic to religious people in some manners, in the same sense that I say that, you know, moderates I'll disagree with philosophically and I'll argue with them, but in that sense, and then I don't support pretty much telling moderates they can go fuck themselves in any other way, or, you know, all religious people are idiots and they're all stupid and they're all...
That's not true.
I don't support that in any way, because I know extremely intelligent religious people. In fact, I think one of the things recently that's been kind of irritating me is that Alvin Plantinga has been under attack on YouTube as being theist. I don't know if everybody knows this, but Alvin Plantinga is one of the most well-respected philosophers in analytic philosophy. And analytic philosophy is a level of logic that you would need to be almost a mathematician in order to understand. So he's an extremely intelligent guy, and that's simply not – it's just not the case to say that all religious people are stupid. It just isn't. They might be wrong as far as God's existence goes, but they're not retarded.
Well,
those kind of generalizations are so ridiculous. Can't believe atheists still like make those kind of generalizations and call themselves rational. Like,
you go to any YouTube channel where there's or video where there's some sort of theist and an atheist talking.
You look at the
comment section; it's insane. I mean, you'll find the occasional atheist that's trying to put forth some rational arguments against somebody else in the comment section. But generally, if an atheist is just commenting and not responding to somebody, you'll usually see, like, oh, this stupid theist, this fucking god believer. Yeah.
Which kind of makes promoting positive atheism that just a little bit more hard.
It is really difficult when you have atheists who are trying to – I mean, it's reminiscent of the whole Bright movement of atheists trying to place themselves on this pedestal of we're the rational ones, we're the intelligent ones, we get it, you guys don't. That's not going to help. That's not going to help. It's just going to make people pissed off, and it's going you'll have religious people going, oh, all right then.
I mean, sometimes that kind of platform – like, pissing people off like that. I know in order to, like, I was a devout Roman Catholic, and I had to be really fucking pissed and angry before I, like, shook my religion because of how indoctrinated I was. I don't know. People just handle stuff completely differently. Some people need to be smacked in the face. This is what your religion says, and you won't even take the time to look at it. And that's going to piss them off. But.
You know, what is it, 10% of Christians have actually read the Bible cover to cover? I mean,
I only know, in my experience, I would say under 85 people I know read the book from the Christians from cover to cover in my personal experience. Most of the folks that I know in my life are theists, and they haven't read that damn book. They may have read
I haven't met Warren.
Priests
have told me they haven't read the whole Bible. What the fuck? Are you kidding me?
I think the clergy are the ones that I'm a lot harder on them because just feel as though they're spreading that bullshit.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times, they're not even encouraging, you know, their congregation to do any serious study. It's just they got the party line and they up there hitting them with their talking point. And then a lot of them get up there and as much as they're not taxed as a church, not taxed, but they always have something to say about politics or try to sway the congregation and vote their way. I just think, dude, if you're gonna wade in that water, you need to be putting some money on the table.
Like I was at, I think it was a Baptist ceremony or something. I forget. It was a particular denomination. It was my uncle's funeral. And, like, half of it was just them trying to convert everybody to the church. I'm like, this is a funeral. Like, why is this a convert section of the mass? Like, when do we get into this shit? I just found it, you know, like, weird.
Every funeral, I would say every funeral I've been to in the last couple of few years, and unfortunately it's been quite a few, that it always ends with them trying to convert the people that's there into their church. I didn't see it fail. Never see it fail. At some point, they're going to ask you, you know, you saved? And I was like, yeah, I'm saved from this bullshit. I'm saved.
I'm totally saved from having my mind corrupted by fundamentalist scriptural indoctrination. I am totally saved from that. Thanks very much.
Thanks for asking.
I enjoy it very much. Womble just gave us a link in the chat room. I think it's, but yes, that's exactly what I was talking about. This goes back to the Atheism Plus conversation that we had before. This is actually one of the main reasons why I really don't like Atheism Plus, because on their forums, in the information and answers part of the forum, they have this huge topic that's essentially one big pity party. It's called The Effects of Not Having Privilege. And the whole thing is list all the ways in which you're at a disadvantage. That's all it is. So, like, the first post, I'll just read this. Because I'm transgender, I have never had a relationship. That's not your transgender's fault. Because I'm transgendered, I had to give up my teaching job. Because I'm transgendered, I face transphobic abuse from strangers. Because I'm a woman, my ideas are often ignored. Because I'm a woman, I face sexual harassment on the street. Because I'm a woman, I feel unsafe walking after dark. You know, I would like to post in here and say, because I'm a man, people think that I want to oppress them. Because I'm white, people don't trust me. I would really just love to do something like that, because we're all at a disadvantage in one way or another. There's no, this is the pinnacle of not having any sort of privilege. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Because I'm not a racist, I get insulted by other racists.
Because I'm Irish, people think I'm drunk.
Hey, that's true, though.
You do get on touch. I know you do. And you're one of the extremely intelligent
people. Whenever people try to get me like that, Irish bastard, I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch, you're right. I am going to have to.
I am an Irish drunken bastard. I am. I will admit that.
Yeah.
That at least one stereotype that I live up to.
I do my best.
Evidently, we have a Womble wanting to call in and bitch at us about geology, probably.
Uh-oh.
We still have the rock, by the way.
Real quick, going back to like what Stone was saying before, I think it's so like hilarious what people consider like an attack, and like how like their whole religion is basically based on, if you don't agree with us fundamentally, then we're going to kill you. And definitely don't speak your mind about, like, what you know what I mean, how you feel about these things, because we're definitely going to kill you, so that, you know, the religion could take hold and become, like, a super virus.
So
people, I think it's fuck
people up to
the Can you hear me, guys? Yeah, I can hear you. I may have, I'm moving with my laptop. I may have to yell at the dog if he's not getting back to his chew in a moment. I'm dog sitting for someone at the moment. 8-month-old puppy. He's been throwing things around the room enthusiastically. No, I was just going to say about that whole Atheism Plus pity party thread, is that one of the ways in which it really kind of irked me was, I know I don't always make a big issue of it on forums and the like, but I'm dyslexic. I've faced a number of issues that have been a real pain in the arse because I'm dyslexic. And yeah, I have a day when I'm feeling really down about something. It's usually like if I'm really trying to work on an assignment and I'm just having major difficulties getting through the reading and the writing aspects of it, in which I do need a bit of a cathartic kind of banter about things, like the way some of these people have on this. But then I get on with things. I just find this kind of overly focusing on what's bad in their lives.
Yeah.
To be this kind of self-destructive cycle. I know, depending on what's going on in people's lives, they might have to do that therapeutic whinge, you know, either for like a short period of time and they pick themselves up, or it might take them longer. But I just sometimes wonder whether or not going into these sorts of things, which, I mean, I know it's just one thread there, but going into these sorts of things are just, hang on, oi! Get back here! The dog's ignoring me now. I just sometimes wonder whether or not these sorts of things from some people just going to keep promoting their stuck in a rut in a whingy way, if you get me.
I feel like atheists, like, a lot of times trying to fill the emotional void that, like, God used to fill. Like, what do you guys think? It seems like that's the case in a lot of...
It's possible. I can see that happening with a lot. Because I was referencing my friend earlier who's a deist. The reason that he's a deist, and he admits this outright, he says it has nothing to do with logic or reason or any sort of empirical thing. It's simply the fact that the idea of the non-existence of an afterlife scares the ever-loving shit out of him. And as soon as he refers to himself as an atheist and actually assumes being an atheist, he just gets crippled with fear and he can't handle it. And he's told me as much, and I told him, like, you know, if you can't get over that, then I really have nothing I can tell you. So.
Yeah. Well,
that depends on the atheist, because I'm sure most European atheists, and there's probably quite a few American atheists as well, have kind of come through from a family background of not having religion forced down their throat, and they've not automatically gone with believing these sorts of things. And so they don't feel that void.
Sometimes. I mean, it depends, because if you don't hear enough people, like, who was it, Russell? Yeah, it was Russell, who was saying, not Russell from the Atheist Experience, Bertrand Russell. He said something along the lines of, this will end up happening to you when you assume the mantle of not believing in a god. When you realize that life is finite and that death is this omnipotent thing that nobody can escape. When you realize that, it's extremely difficult for you to cross the bridge into recognizing that there's more to life than thinking that there's something after life. So I think his ideas was that there are three options. One, you can go back to religion. Two, you can stay in that state of depression forever. Or three, you can move on and understand the beauty of the life that you have now. And to me, I think a lot of atheists have pretty much gone on to that point. Not all of them, probably. There are still probably some of them out there that really, really don't like the fact that they have nothing waiting for them. And to me, I would like I always like to reference them to arguments that I've seen from other people, arguments that I've made myself, as to why I would think, even if there is an afterlife, I would prefer there not to be one, to be honest. There's just something about an afterlife that makes me really unhappy. If I were to live forever, because I like philosophy. I'm the philosophy guy on the panel, and it's something that I enjoy, and the reason for it is because I enjoy learning about the world, learning about our understanding, learning about everything. And as a result, if there was an afterlife, I would have an infinite amount of time to learn everything, and at some point I would learn everything, and I'd want to kill myself. because it would be so boring to know everything. I would not be able to handle it.
Did you guys ever watch the Star Trek Next Generation episode where Q was taking Leave the Bin alone?
Hey! I don't
know. As you tell you, I had a puppy. I've just been chasing it on the room trying to get a tissue out of his mouth without getting bitten. If there's a Star Trek The Next Generation episode in which Q bimbled up, or zinged up as he does, and he took Picard and a few of the other bridge officer types into the Q continuum.
Yeah.
To kind of show them what the Q existence was, and there was this thing where it showed kind of this just desolate place with a road that was like really long,
went I off think the I thought of that.
And like this little hut thing with there was a couple of other Q there. One was just sat inside the hut, and one was sat on a rocking chair in the veranda. Just kind of staring off into space, and I just would imagine the afterlife being something a bit like that. Kind of once you've been and done everything, you're just going to then sat down thinking, right, well, what do I do? Can't play any more drinking games. We run out of different types of drink to try out.
I would love to live forever.
Okay. I don't know. You don't think that would get boring after a couple million years?
I mean, I'm pretty sure I could warp my mind around, like, an infinite amount of things to think about, like, in that time. I'm assuming that I have my full brain, like, use after, like, 430. I don't know. It'd be nice to live forever. If I could think how I, and be active how I am now, like, and live forever, I'd be completely fine with that. I'd be absolutely fine. I could make music for the rest of the
year. I'm looking forward to the big nap. It's a big nap. You're going to sleep.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean,
just take a break. Just take a break.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to live forever, but if they found a way to extend our lifespan by a few hundred years, that sounds cool.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You could become a proper expert in two or three different subjects, and you have a lot of time to really get to know and take your time to get to know your stuff, rather, you know, a few different fields.
Yeah,
right. I'm perfectly okay with an extended life. That's why I support transhumanism, the idea of extending our lives using technology. I'm perfectly okay with that. If it's an infinite life, would be horrible.
I would love it.
I mean, I don't know, dude. Like, I know a lot of people do feel that way about death, and they think that, I have nothing to look forward to. I don't even look at it. I mean, maybe it's just me. I look at it like that. It's a nap. I'm going to sleep. It's less about what's going to happen to me once I die and more about how I die for me. Like, you know, of course you don't want to die in pain.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. But the idea that I think that a lot of the fear of that comes from these stories and myths that we have allowed to just continue. The human family can't let it go about a hell and a heaven. And it's like, dude, you're going to sleep.
We just got a question from the chat from Longbu. What do you think of anti-natalism?
Oh dear. Do you know what that is? Because I can summarize that for you if you need a refresher on what that is.
I can summarize it in one word: bollocks.
Oh, that was good. I never really thought about it. I mean, I don't know. Truthfully, it's not one of those type of topics that me and my friends sit around talking about. So,
anatalism essentially is the prospect that none of us should have any more kids. Like, no more kids.
Yeah.
But the concept that's behind it usually revolves around it, to me, I discussed this at length with Wisdom Nature, who's a philosophy guy on YouTube. He's actually a professor as far as I know. And he told me that it was really interesting how with every single bit of antinatalist rhetoric, you can replace the word antinatalist with emo and it works just as well. Because wow. The whole concept is life is suffering, life sucks, so let's not bring any more people into life. That's the whole concept.
Unless you're someone that likes the fact that people suffer, and then bring everybody here. I don't know.
An antinatalist and a sadomasochist would make an interesting couple to get together.
Yeah, right.
You'd have the antinatalist going, life sucks, man. The sadomasochist going, I know, isn't it great?
Oh, that's too funny. That's too funny.
Leave it alone.
I thought they were going to say something like, we shouldn't have any more kids just because, like, we're depleting the Earth's resources and we need to, like, restart over or something logical. But
it's nothing like that. I'm pro people having less kids.
We need to have a lot less kids.
A little bit of population control is okay. I mean, you don't go out and kill people or anything like that, obviously. But and being like, hey, you make $20,000 a year. You probably shouldn't have eight kids.
Yeah, really.
So I'm pro that, but I'm not pro, well, you know, life is suffering, so don't bring someone into this life because then you'll just induce more suffering on them. Because it's not. It's not just suffering. I don't know what brings them to this thought process. And again, you could just call them emos, and that works. Yeah. Because that's all I see, because they have this really untenable position that there's nothing good about living, and I don't understand how they, if you really believe that, why don't you just kill yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, because you enjoy talking about nihilistic bullshit that brings down everybody's day all day every day. Because I know people like this.
That's pretty much the only thing that they give. They say, well, I have to keep living so I can spread the message. Your message, by the way, I'm just going to let you know, no one's going to accept it. Your message is never going to become mainstream.
Yeah, their message to get across. And I don't think anyone, I wouldn't want anyone to think I'm actually suggesting this, is if they all get together and they dress up, maybe I have my prostitute box, and they dress up in some sort of weird way, and this is antinatalists, and they all come up with some weird cult slogans and the like, and then they find some strange and interesting way to have a mass suicide act. Maybe with, you know, having drawn the attention of the United States, you know, whatever local group that's most suitable for them to be having a Waco-style siege. That would be an interesting way to get the message across, and it would get loads more people's attention than whinging on the internet.
Yeah. One thing I want to say, though, about the antinatalists is that they say life is crap and they just whinge about it, but they never bother to do anything to actually make life better.
Right.
Well, because, I mean, I brought this up. I've been in private conversation with a couple, and I've had debates with in Mendham on this whole thing. And what they usually say about that is, that's just trying to sweep up the mess without actually going for the source of the problem. Like, there's a leak in the pipe, and you're sweeping, and you're just kind of mopping up what comes out of the leak, but you're not fixing the leak. That's what they look at that as.
I don't know, dude, with all of the bad stuff that I'm sorry, Womble. With all of the bad stuff that has happened to me growing up, I wouldn't really trade any of it because actually it made me the person I am now. So I just don't look at the negative things the same way.
I know exactly what you mean with that, Tombstone. As I was saying earlier when I joined about the pity party thing, if I hadn't have had my dyslexia, it wouldn't have made me the stubborn, I'm going to bloody get this job done sort of person that I am.
Right.
So I wouldn't have had to have developed that mindset to get through things like my various bits of academic study. I wouldn't have had that kind of just full on and get through mindset.
Right.
Well, we have another question from the chat. It's from CZ42. Flying spaghetti monster or Cthulhu?
Oh my god.
Thor. I'm gonna go Cthulhu on this one. If we're talking about who would win in a fight, it would be the flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah, is that what they're talking about? They're talking about who would win in a fight.
When I read that in the Skype, I had an interesting thought. They're both these kind of blobby things that live out somewhere in the depths of space. Lots of tentacle, noodly, wiggly things. So what if Cthulhu and the Flying Spitting Monster are actually different, separate manifestations of the same thing, and it's just an adult version. Weak-minded, full-put version, and I'll get twice the worshippers, and then it'll be easier for me to come in and take over the world because there'll be more people that are victims of me.
Speaking of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, I was very happy to go outside today, and I saw on the back of my neighbor's truck, he actually has a Flying Spaghetti Monster thing on the back of his truck, as well as a Darwin fish, so I was like, awesome!
I did. I went to Catholic High School. I got a lot of shit.
I've got a Flying Spaghetti Monster key ring and a thing for sticking on the back of the car, but I've not got the back of the car.
Durakin, your pants are behind your couch. That's his question. Where's his pants? And Dirty Atreyu says, who's more badass, Raptor Jesus or Zombie Jesus?
Raptor Jesus.
I'm just saying.
I'm not Zombie Raptor Jesus.
Oh, no, dude. You're talking to the dead man. I'm going to have to go with Zombie. You're talking to the dead man.
Zombie
I'm
Jesus,
going
yeah.
With the
I'm trying to build up a zombie-based Magic the Gathering deck. And that just seems to be working quite well. I haven't yet had it really kick other people's asses yet.
Nice. Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
You ever play Left 4 Dead Tombstone?
Say again?
You ever play Left 4 Dead?
Oh, no, not yet.
You're not going to be disappointed.
How can you not... Being Tombstone, being... And also being a member of the GameStop community, as well as being an avid gamer, you've never played Left 4 Dead. That
you gotta understand. You gotta understand that my gaming has been very, very sporadic as of late because I've been focused on music. Yeah. So it's like, and going to school. So if I'm playing games, I'm feeling like I should be doing my schoolwork, or I should be doing some music.
Yeah, that's what I do. If I'm playing a game, I'm like, I need to be doing music right now.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
We have a question from the chat room, 5556. Tombstone, what are your favorite zombie movies?
What was that one with Ving Rhames in it? I cannot remember the name.
Dawn of the Dead? Dawn of the Dead remake.
Yeah, the remake. I like that.
See, I personally, and he said that everybody should answer this question on the panel, so I'll go next. My favorite would be Land of the Dead. Either Land of the Dead or Zombieland. Both, to me, were great. Land of the Dead, mainly because we had... It's this very surreal reality where zombies are everywhere, but people are still living their lives as if it's regular life. Like, yeah, there's zombies outside the city, but you know, which dress looks cuter on me? You know, that's Land of the Dead. And then you have Zombieland, which essentially breaks down zombie killing to style. And to me, there's a surreal element to that as well that just makes me think this would make a great TV series.
Yeah.
What about everybody else on the panel? What are your favorite zombie movies?
Mine's gonna be Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead. Of course, it'll be Shaun of the Dead. Of course.
I'm gonna
British
go,
people.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 28 Days Later.
Have you never?
I haven't watched many zombie films myself, but I'll have to go with Dead. It is quite hilarious.
It was a good one. I'll concede that Shaun of the Dead's a pretty good one. It's high up on my list.
Going with Hills Have Eyes.
I
haven't
seen a lot
and then 28 Days Later
was
another one, although that's infected, not zombie.
That was Zulu's favorite.
Yeah.
Marty, what about you?
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of zombie movies either, but one I liked because it was so bad it was awesome was, what the hell was it called? Return of the Living Dead, I think.
Was that...
Land of the Living Dead?
Would that be like the first one, the black and white one, or...?
No. I may have the name wrong, but people are turning into zombies and they're like... sort of retaining their personality, they just start craving brains.
And, like, you know, it's just, I should go, but...
So fucking bad.
I got you, guys.
I was laughing through
the See you, Womble.
See ya.
See ya, Womble.
See ya.
Yeah, it's a 1985 movie, according to IMDb.
Yeah, that sounds like it could be it.
Yeah, that's another thing that would really make me laugh. The whole concept of, yeah, I'm a zombie, but, you know, I gotta go to school, too, so.
Right, I'm a zombie, but I have a life. I mean.
like I said, yeah. I just seem to.
I'm just a person that needs brains to live. That's it.
Right. Please.
I was just going to say, if I'm seeing the screen right, Graydon Square's just come into the chat room. So hello, Graydon.
Greetings, Graydon.
Good, GS.
Awesome to see you here. Unfortunately, it came in like the last 5 minutes of the show.
He's wagging
it. After all the questions have been discussed, after we've done everything that we can, grasping for topics, Graydon decides to come in. Eh, we'll do it now.
He's wagging it.
What's that? Sorry, you're going to have to explain that to people listening on the podcast, Lundy, while you're laughing.
He's whacking it. I don't know what that is. I'm sorry,
that's what we say in GU, man. When somebody is fucking up, we just say he's whacking it.
I got a completely different understanding from that.
Dirty Atreyu asks, I got another question. If we definitively prove that zombies are impossible, would people still be preparing for them? Most likely. I would not.
Can't take that away from me.
I'm sorry.
Lafayette
is one of the most reasonable people I know. He's still getting prepared for the zombie apocalypse. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't believe that that's going to actually happen.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a giant shotgun in his room. He's got everything ready. He knows a guy that he's going to go over to. Preparation is extremely fun. Like, it's the whole hypothetical situation of it all. It's just like, where would I go? What would I use? What would I drive? Who would I save? That kind of stuff. It's interesting to think about.
Right. I don't know. I think that better safe than sorry. So let's all just prepare. And if it's not zombies, maybe it's aliens. But okay. It's something. Something's coming. Yeah. So let's prepare.
Can I change my favorite movie to Zombieland, actually?
Yeah.
That's a great movie, too. Yeah, that's a great movie.
There's a very quick question from Jay, who called in earlier. It says, what kind of art do you like?
I'm into the music, man. I'm really into music.
Okay.
And is there like a specific genre you're interested in, or
for hip hop, I was listening. It's funny because in my neighborhood, I come from a predominantly black neighborhood, and all you heard when I was growing up in that neighborhood, being played out of the houses and the cars and stuff, was R&B, funk. So I was on my porch listening to rock.
All right.
You know what I mean? So I would say. That was my first love was rock music, and hip hop came after that when I heard Dougie Fresh. That made me love rap.
Dougie's a good one, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, he was a good one. These days, he seems kind of corny to me, but he's gotten kind of corny with the whole "teach me how to Dougie." Teach me how to Dougie. Come on.
Oh, man.
As soon as you make a dance after yourself, you're done.
That wasn't him, that was some other fool.
Yeah.
So it is 2:58 for me, and the Magic Sandwich Show is starting in about 2 minutes everyone else. So we're going to go ahead and close out the show. Because apparently, whenever we compete with the Magic Sandwich Show, we always lose. So we're not going to even bother. So the Magic Sandwich Show is starting in about 2 minutes. We're going to close out the show. I'll go ahead and let Zulu do that.
Yeah, it's just thanking Tombstone. Thanks very much for coming along. It's been fantastic.
All right.
It's been great.
Had a ball, man.
And it's just to let everyone know, we're back in 2 weeks. We don't know the time yet. It depends on what Magic Sandwich Show, because they changed their schedule at the last minute on us, but we're back in 2 weeks with Dr. Victor J. Stenger's going to be joining us, author of God the Failed Hypothesis and a whole load of other good books, renowned physicist, atheist, philosopher, so please, everyone, you'll enjoy that one as well.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see you all in 2 weeks. This is Big Lundy. This is Big Lundy signing out, and Mortimer?
Bye.
And Hitch.
Talk to you later, guys.